Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 51 of Critical Moves. Today, I'm joined by Adam.
Hello, everyone.
And Tim.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
And I'm your host, Jack, and today we're going to talk about the current Steam Next Fest that we have here in October 2025. So, Adam, Tim, have you played very many demos today?
A couple.
Yeah, I played some. And there's so much of them that I would say I played a tiny bit of demos.
Yeah, no, that's me too. For the sake of this episode, for the sake of the audience, I went ahead and played like six or seven demos back to back, gave them like an hour or 30 minutes apiece. I'm sure that was Tim's experience too.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of games out there. Some it's easy to get excited about, others less so. But I had fun, and I think that's part of the point of all this, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard with Next Fest, right? I was complaining about that with Al earlier, that Steam doesn't really, they don't publicize their Next Fest very well, I feel like. What was it? I sat there waiting for Next Fest to start in my time zone. I started refreshing the page. I got the strategy games that I saw, thought that was kind of everything. And then downloaded them and then went on my way. And then I came back a couple hours later after a few demos and then refreshed the page again and found out that every time I refresh the page, it shows me new demos. And it was kind of difficult for me to find a game that I would want to play or something that was interesting to me or just made me feel like, I don't know, like if I was going down the list and looking at strategy games based by genre, I was going to miss out on something I would have actually wanted to play.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. Like, I believe that the user experience and user interface of Next Fest is not that great, to be honest. How do you know that each time you refresh the page, the games change? Like, there's no notification about it. And what I noticed is that there was one game I wanted to play, and I was like, okay, it's there. I get back later to this tab. And it wasn't there anymore because they are shuffling, I guess, or they are changed like dynamically. I don't quite get it.
So the way I understand it is, especially the first day, everything gets kind of shown. But over the next couple of days, what I'm expecting to see is that people play some games and then recommend some of these, and then they get higher up in the ranking, and then it's easier to find like more quality games, because I feel like at the moment you have to go through a lot of low effort stuff to find something good.
Yeah, I agree. Whenever I knew that this Next Fest was coming up and I wanted to prepare for this episode, what I did was I looked at what Steam had already published, and I saw that Steam had released basically a journalistic link and the Steam Next Fest link for people to wait on. And I was kind of hoping that they would already have a list of like the big games that were coming up that had demos planned or things that people had already anticipated. But I can kind of appreciate their kind of free market approach to let people just try demos out and then see which ones end up being popular. And then for the next few days, we'll see those talked about. But I mean, I think right now the point we're making is that it's just hard to find things. Like, they're making the difficulty of how many games get released on Steam already, the visibility of indie games like that already harder by having like a curated list that's just randomized, or I don't know. I don't know how they're doing the Next Fest every time you refresh the page, but it's hard. To make that point, one of the games we've talked about on this podcast before, Stellar Reach, had a demo come out today, and we've talked about it, wanted to play it, were interested to learn more about the game. Had no idea that demo came out today until right before, just a couple minutes before this episode started. So I've got like 10 or so minutes into the demo and have my very first impressions. But I mean, I would have had no idea that that demo came out today.
And I had no idea that Anno came out in this Next Fest. And this is the huge game that I was waiting for. So as really like on my Next Fest page, there's no indication of Anno game. I don't know why, maybe some algorithm, maybe it like adjusted to me or something, but You told me before the podcast about it, and to be honest, I'm a little bit flabbergasted.
And on the other hand, if I can defend it, and the nice part about it is that it does give the opportunity for completely random games to be seen, because if it really is random and you see a bunch of random games, it can be nice that there could be some hidden gems that would otherwise get lost because nobody has heard of it before, and then they pop up.
So with that kind of said and done, exhausting that point, let's go ahead and move on to some of the big button topics of this next fest. So Adam already mentioned that the Anno demo came out. I'll go ahead and get out of the way that I don't think either of the three of us have played the Anno demo, which is fair because it's about 100 gigabytes on PC.
I watched a lot of gameplay of it, and even before it came out, I've been following it quite closely. And to me, unless something big pops up, it's probably going to be a buy for me. Either way, I love the Anno series, and I think I'm definitely going to play this one.
Yeah, my first impression with Anno actually came, 1800 was the last one. So I played a little bit of that. My impressions are I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was a really beautiful strategy game, the way the graphics were handled, the way the terrain was handled, the islands. I really liked the economy. So I'm interested in this Anno game. Like I said, I'm a newcomer to the series. I'd be interested to try out the demo here across the next week or so. Tim, as somebody who's played Anno before, what excites you about this new one, 117, and why do you think people might want to check out the demo this next fest?
Diagonal Road. No, I'm kidding, but like one of the big, you know, supposed features of the game is that for the first time in series you have diagonal roads. it sounds silly, but it does make a difference when you're trying to make realistic looking cities, and they're not like modern North American cities. I like the setting, I guess. Other than that, at the moment it does look like it's a huge game, and performance could be a big issue. I'm not with my home PC at the moment, which is why I couldn't play this one. I didn't even try. You said yourself, 100 and something gigabytes is pretty big. The demo that I've seen is really limiting. It's like 1 hour of gameplay or something like that. So I feel like there's still a lot to be discovered in the game, and I want to see if it's fun. The UI is not great at the moment. That's probably one of the easiest things for them to fix, and the demo will probably help them a lot with getting feedback with players testing that out. But at the moment, it just doesn't feel very immersive. The voice acting, I think, can go either way. There's like actual voice actors and storytelling with them, and I think some people will really like it, others might dislike it, but that's like a personal preference thing. It can get a bit silly sometimes, and that's something to consider. Do you like it to be really serious, your strategy games, or not? It's personal preference, I think. No, I mean, I'm excited. I want something new. It does promise, like, it's an Anno, but there is new, like a good middle way between the two. So, let's see.
Now, one thing that intrigued me about 1800 was I hadn't really played a strategy game like that simulated an economy and had the islands and everything, where the primary source of income was the houses, right? You were supposed to build residences as many as possible and expand your city, and that did not dawn on me for a long time in the hours I spent on that game. So for the first time I was playing it, I was like seriously behind on houses, thinking that I was reaching like a residence quota, and I was just trying to expand with markets and other buildings, and my economy was collapsing and I didn't know what was going on. So I never got that far into Anno, but I'm interested to try out this new one, and I want to go back and put more time into 1800.
Death and Taxes.
Now, I guess moving on from Anno, there's another big game that Adam and I definitely want to talk about. But before we hop into that, something else that we've kind of addressed here is that if you come to Critical Moves for the controversy, I think our general opinion was, how do we feel about most of these demos, Adam?
They're kind of crap. Sorry for that. But I guess the issue is that the maybe amount of good quality games is about the same, maybe higher, but there's so much of them that the percentage decreased even if there's more games. So okay, there's again like about 100, maybe 200 good games, and like a rest of them are, for me, there are not even like pre-alpha. There are concept games. There are like even concept arts sometimes that try to mimic a game. Yeah, I get it. Steam, like, people have different budgets and try different things. But again, they're publishing a demo, so people need to be able to play it. And if I get to game and it crashes every 2 minutes, again, guys, it's not a good demo. It's not a good demonstration of the game. And yeah, I get it, you can make mistakes, but again, this is your time to shine. And as far as I know, you can be on the next fest one time with your game. So that's an issue.
So the way that I see it is that it's easier than ever to make a game. And yeah, I think there's a lot of people nowadays who also did the codes nowadays with AI. So it's AI, I think, made it even easier to develop a game. And yeah, they have their idea and they're making a game. And yeah, you're right. I think there's a lot of like very low quality games in there. And how I think about people who have made games in the past and stuck to it and kept going, sometimes a great game can come out of it like 10 years later if they're on the third installment of that version. And yeah, if you want to dedicate that much to it, I think something great can come out of it. And a lot of these games, that's exactly what I see. Not all of them, but some of them are just bad.
Of course, I totally agree with you. But again, I do believe that we are in this point of game development that maybe we should do some, I don't know, pre-alpha fest or something to distinguish. Because again, we have games like Anno. We have a couple of indie games that I would talk about that are great, that plays amazing. You can feel they are basically a demo that people want to showcase. And some of them are concept arts. Some of them are like even ideas that are being developed. I don't know, it looks like in a couple of weeks. I developed a couple of games in my life and they were not far from what I saw during this next fest. You know, when the algorithm is shuffling games, as we talked, it basically takes your time away. And for me, I feel less inclined for the next fest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Again, there are great games. And I know we cannot cancel the games that are not good enough. But some of them are, like, if the game is crashing when it starts, like, guys, I cannot play 5 minutes of it. It should be checked by moderation. Like, I'm not even talking about some bad graphics, gameplay, lacking anything. I'm talking about running the game.
I would say, indeed, Steam perhaps should do a better job of, for example, tagging also AI slop, or having a system that gets these games pre-approved or something. That it's probably a huge amount of resources to check every game before putting it on the Steam page. But yeah, at least I believe after a couple of days of Steam Next Fest, it does get better because through people recommendation and so on, these things get filtered out.
I agree with you. But again, when it comes to releasing the game, I do believe that like they don't need to check so much as during Next Fest, because Next Fest, I feel, is like a collection or a set of games that are like there should be some pack that you can digest in some exact time. And when you are filling with crap, it's really hard for me as a player to get excited about Next Fest.
Yeah, I did not run into any performance issues as far as crashes on my end. But to kind of echo the points that you're saying, Adam, the thing that I ran into the most is just, it's kind of an issue that all strategy players understand, right? It's like, it's the niche genre specific issue where all strategy games, whether they're AAA with multi-million dollar budgets or not, usually have horrible UI and very poor quality assurance testing. And for indie games that don't have access to those resources and are releasing anything from AI slop or finalizing a concept in weeks, I just constantly ran into demos where, I mean, for example, we haven't touched on Stellar Reach yet, but I'll go ahead and say my first impression of that game was impossible to read. I felt illiterate. It was every single menu was made for ants. I made a joke to Al while I was streaming it. where as I was showing him the game on my end, it felt like the settings menu for that game was designed by one of those like programming communities where the challenge was to make it as inconvenient as possible to like fix the settings, like when they do it with like audio volume or YouTube search bars or something. So in Stellar Reach currently, as of the demo, in order to change the UI scaling, you have to enter into a text box the amount, the number you want the UI to scale to, but it does not increase past 0.71. So, and that's also where it's set to begin with. And then the UI text scaling, I think it ranges from 1 to 2, and I was able to change it to 2, and it really did not help. So all that to say is one of my biggest problems was possibly the resolution on the screen that I played it on. Perhaps I should have played it on a different monitor. But, I mean, that was just a first impression for that game. And this is a game that we've talked about on the podcast before. We've compared to giants like Stellaris. We were interested in reviewing for Steam Next Fest or even talking to the publisher or the developers behind to get access to. And so that's important, right? I mean, this is no different really on the grand stage from talking about something like Anno. We'd be having the same conversation if we all downloaded the Anno demo and the menus were too small to read.
This is the important thing you talked about. You won't get the second first impression. And that's an issue because it's a demo. So your first impression should be as good as it could be. Like, of course, I'm already like over 30 years old. So, but I remember like when the demos were like the demonstration of the best parts of the game. Like I even remember like God of War demo that was like a battle from the middle of the game. And like I was shocked how good it was. And then I open Next Fest and I get first mission without tutorial with some random icons that don't mean anything. And like my first impression is, oh no, wrong game. And just exit, erase, and never looked back again at it.
Yeah, I figure when developing a game, one ought to live within their own means. And if you can't do good textures, if you can't do good 3D models, do something simpler, something easier, something that you don't need a huge amount of time and effort to still make it look decent.
It leads to the game that I want to discuss, and it's called Abide War. In order to explain it to you, it's kind of like RTS game, but it's... You, for example, build building in a way of drawing them on a screen. And I know it may sound a little bit obscure, but the attention to details, the graphics are really, really simple. There are like squares and that's it. Like, I believe it wasn't so hard to design. But on the other hand, when I played it, I could feel that the person behind it was like, okay. Guys, we don't have a huge budget. We want to have some maybe game, RTS game that's not so straightforward with some cool mechanics. Okay, let's do simple graphics. And again, plot. Again, simple with about some AI stuff, whatever. But I feel like these people knew what they were lacking and knew what they want to do. And last thing, I believe that they wanted to make a demo. They didn't want to show the pre-alpha version of some idea. This was the real demo of the game. I liked it. I stopped playing it in order to record this podcast. I liked it so much. Maybe the game in the future, when it will be full release, it will be boring. I don't know, whatever. But at this point of time, I want to wishes this game. And this is what the Next Fest should be all about.
What's the name of the game?
Bite War.
And the aesthetic of it is really cool. It's like a glitch kind of looking.
Yes, but if you look at the screenshots, there are like everything is extremely simple. Like to the point that even like the pixel art is one of these really pixelated pixel art. But again, it plays. Maybe like it's really, you can feel that someone poured hard into developing this game and it's not some AI slop. Like, I know what it came out in the future, but I wish this game, and guys, maybe you should too. At least try it.
Yeah, it looks decent, and that's exactly it. It looks simple, but not in a bad way. And I feel like if it was trying to be more realistic or something like that, it would look really bad.
Now, see, this is an interesting point because I personally am very passionate about game development and like you said, Tim, living within your means or developing within your means. Looking at a Byte War, it looks like it was developed by an indie team, maybe even a solo developer, and the aesthetic to you and I both look very good. I would say it gets a little shoddy once you get into the menus of that game. It looks like the text choices or the way it's laid out, or there's like, it almost feels like a production value fall, like it plummets once you enter into UI territory, which is what I think a lot of indie games deal with. But at first impression, the aesthetic looks very good, which is something you can't say about the rest of these, like a lot of these mm-hmm. demos.
Mm-hmm. And it comes to UI again. Like, when I played this demo, I could feel that basically someone played the game. Because this thing about the UI, when UI is bad, sometimes you are like, but has anyone played this game? Like, tested it? Of course, when you're creating a game, you are in the mindset of, like, understanding everything perfectly. But maybe, yeah. I don't know, give it to your wife to test it at least once or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, to check if the person out of the world understand it. And when I play this game, of course, it's not perfect, but like you get it in like a minute, you know everything. And you know where to click, you know where to press. Even the keybinds are like done in this way. They're like perfectly at like reach of your hand. Like it's, you can feel someone played it. And that's what I would want to feel about the game.
So Adam, for you to have played a Byte War, did you feel like you played enough of it to give a first impression kind of critical moves review, or did you just play enough to get an impression about the aesthetics and the problems with it?
Again, demos are all about promises, but the promise made me wishlist this game. So I guess it says something, and this was the only game, except Heroes, Olden Era, that I wishlisted during this Steam Fest, Next Fest. And during like previous ones, I wishlist like 4 or 5 games, so much like more than 2 this time. So it says something.
It's on my radar now too. Tim, is there a demo that you played that you want to kind of shout out?
Shout out is, I don't know if it's the right word. I was struggling to find something that I enjoyed. I did have fun with 2 games. They're actually quite similar. So one is Strategos and the other is Master of Command. They're kind of the same game, but I mean, they're total war games. You play, you have an army and you send them out on the battlefield. One is a Greek Roman version and the other one is like Napoleonic Warfare version. I enjoy Total War. I could be playing more Total War. I have time in my day to play Total War, and I don't. And the time where I'm not playing Total War, I guess, is not the time where I'm going to go and play a different, similar version to it. And in some ways, they're better, and they do some things that are nice. It's just kind of the same game still. Like, you have an army, you move them around on the map, and then it's purely the tactical part of Total War, by the way. It's just the battlefields of them. It's like, it's interesting, but yeah, I guess I'd rather play something else.
I hear you. So the critical moves review on Master of Command and Strategos was Total War exists.
Yeah, I mean, they're better versions of the Total War battles. I think they had some significant improvements, even the UI. I mean, we were talking about sloppy games. Like, here, these games are not sloppy. They look decent enough. They're somewhat polished and so on. It's just, okay, if you're a diehard Total War fan and you love these tactical battles and you play them over and over again, or you're looking for something like that, or you haven't played any of those and you're looking for something new, they're interesting options. What about you, Jack? What have you played?
Well, thanks for pulling it around to me. I actually wanted to kind of transition and talk about a subsection that we touched on before, which is Adam brought up, it feels like some of these demos are development concepts that were done in a few weeks. And I think it'd be interesting because I played a good few demos and maybe you played the same ones or just played some like this, but I want to kind of rapid fire some demos out there that I played that even the ones that were fun really just felt like concepts. As somebody who's worked, and Tim, I mean, I'm sure you've explored this as well, and Adam, I know what we're talking about, have probably experienced this yourself, but in game development, in the industry, you will always run into teams or directors or people, creatives that want to make a game, and it feels like the game they're putting money into and creating feels like a concept. I've worked on them before. I've been a part of those teams. It genuinely feels like I wish I could be in the design booth or the writing booth or the creative director chair, not to steal this idea, but just because they're like on the precipice of something that moves beyond a gameplay concept. So to me, that was something that I think a lot of us here, or a few of us here, were excited to play, which was Day of Extinction. I played that demo. It was one of the most fun demos I played out of NextFest so far today. Extinction Day. The game is pretty similar in premise to Plague Inc., which is what I think we talked about before. As far as what it's similar to, the game is billed as a kind of a god game where you are controlling and manipulating events on the Earth to try to wipe out the entire population. And the twist of the mechanics are that as you progress, you obtain souls from humans, and you can also obtain, they called them, I want to say places was the name of the other resources. And so there was souls, places, and the last one was something like some kind of corruption token, I think it was. And the concept is that you would use the souls to upgrade the natural disasters or the celestial events or the apocalypses or viruses.
That's interesting.
Right. And so I think the main mechanic there was to upgrade those. And then as you collected the places from loot drops or from generally just from loot drops around the world that would appear as you progressed, you would use that to do various things from upgrading the territorial effects of your attempts. And you'd also use it to do things like upgrade your abilities to slow down the rate of global unification or things like you're basically just affecting the natural events of the world. So you could use your place tokens to do things like fill up the emergency rooms across the Earth so that there was less healthcare provision, things like that. The corruption tokens you used as a gambling mechanic to try and spin a wheel to see if you could land on preventing some kind of natural unification or planetary unification event. So things like a complete continental lockdown or Providence lockdown to prevent people from leaving from place to place to spread a virus, you could actually disrupt that and remove the barrier to allow the virus to continue by gambling your corruption tokens on a wheel that spins. The problem with this, though, after all that context out of the way, is that similarly to Plague Inc., it kind of runs its course, right? Like, we're playing a demo with a first impression, and maybe there was content that they're still planning for full launch that wasn't in the demo, but it was one of those demos where upon load, you could see the content and the future mechanics and scenarios that were just locked away. And having explored those options, because I was enjoying the game, I saw a limited list of things that could happen. And after playing the game, I felt less excited for them because in the time that I played, I was able to unlock across 4 tutorial missions, natural storms, like multiple hurricanes that occur across the planet to wipe out the population, and an active, so there's passive apocalypses, which are like the storms or a virus, and the active ones are things like an asteroid impact on the Earth or tornado that you can place. My problem was is that across 4 missions, I unlocked the storms, the tornadoes, the asteroid impact, and the virus, but it genuinely all played the same. So outside of assets that looked similar, or the way, like, it was fun to try to wipe out all the population on the planet or try to go for different countries, but it didn't have the same problems or the same mechanics, I should say, that Plague Inc. did, where you're trying to spread a virus and New Zealand is the hardest one to get to because it's isolated, or Hawaii, you're trying to wipe out population there, but nobody's flying there once there's protocols in place not to fly. In this game, if you have that problem, you just drop an asteroid on Hawaii or you drop an asteroid on New Zealand. And there was times where I couldn't reach England, so I just dropped an asteroid in Al's hometown. And that fixed the problem. And so what I eventually imagined was that when the full game came out, I would play something like the zombie apocalypse mode, and it would just play the same way. You're going to see the population turn red, and it's not like I'm actively playing it entirely differently. The upgrades are all general stat bonuses. They don't do things that really change up the gameplay. So like, it was a lot of fun, but I feel like the fun came from that demo that would probably perpetually sit on their Steam page as well. So I don't know that, outside of wanting to support the developer, if there's a reason to purchase the full game. And for that reason, it's hard for me to recommend doing so when it comes out, but I would tell everybody to go play the demo if they're interested in the game, like Plague Inc.
That's true. Interesting.
I look at the Steam page of the game, though, and the third is screenshot of the game for sure has AI arts. Like, I am not an expert, but I clearly see the AI generated these icons for, I don't know, some lungs or, I don't know, bacteria or whatever.
I'm curious about the game, if they could have it on a full release where it gets really difficult. I think these games get really good if once you start getting better at the game, there's like more challenges that make it increasingly difficult. And then kind of nice that you're fighting like a boss fight, but it's not like a big evil wizard or whatever, but it's like all of humanity who's trying to fight you. I think that concept is really cool. And I think there's definitely a lot that can be done here, but yeah, as you say, like I'm watching the trailer as well, and it looks, I mean, it's a demo, you don't know where it's gonna go, but if it's as you described, it's not that replayable.
Yeah, and I actually got to a point in the last of the four scenarios I played where I actually lost because I was unable to prevent humanity from forming an arc in space with 5,000 population to leave the Earth and survive. So
oh, wow.
I played that poorly, and I did not beat that scenario. So I will admit that it could get challenging in the future. The problem was that I kind of got uninvested up to that point, because as the arc was forming, I just wanted to play a scenario where I used celestial events to attack the Earth. And so I was really focusing on the asteroid impact, because that's what I asked me to do at the start of that tutorial mission. And I wanted to see what the new effects would be or what would happen as I upgraded it. And then because of that, I deprioritized the rest of the world's population, and then they were able to form this arc and leave. But that's that game. As for rapid firing, some other things, I'll let you both do this in a moment too if you've played something similar. But I also played Whiskerwood, I believe it's called. It's a game Al was familiar with. It's a cat and mouse, literally, colony building sim, where there's a at-cat monarch that sent mice to an island that seems to be a mix between like voxel and cel-shaded art. And you build buildings, you assign workers from your mice, new shipments of cargo come in, taxes are placed on you that you have to pay back to the monarch. And so you're basically just supposed to survive and thrive. My general impressions of this game were, I thought it was fun. I had to stop playing to be able to prioritize other demos, and so I would go back. But I do think, and this is like a larger discussion, that there's a whole bunch of games popping up on Steam every Next Fest now, which are colony building or city building sims that all look like they're made in the same exact engine with the same game mechanics, with the same thing going for them. And I do think Whiskerwood approached the taxes and things like that differently. Maybe the economy balancing, how you dealt with that, and maybe the new events that would pop up. But I know last Next Fest, even though I didn't talk about them, or at least one that we had over the summer, I played multiple city building sims, things like Apocalyptic City Builders or Island City Builders or just Colony Sims. And all of them looked like they were made the same way by the same people. And all they did were you just research this to unlock a new building and then place it down. And so I guess for people that purely love city builders, there's going to be an endless supply of those out there. But it's hard to keep recommending them when they kind of feel like they're coming out of the same sketchbook.
I would love to have an episode about city builders with you, though, because I played a bunch of them, and you can clearly put them in like different buckets, like subgenres of city builders. And what I've noticed too, that there's like one specific subgenre, and that's called like maybe cozy, kind of like make beautiful city builders that are really popular. And this is an issue, because for me, they are simply boring. And it's, I believe, much easier to create, oh, let's create a nice city in an easy way, like there's no difficulties way to do a city builder, because when you try to place a challenge there, it's much, much more harder, because you need to introduce mechanics that kind of obstruct your way to develop. But again, this is for another discussion. But I totally agree with you. Every next fest, there's like hundreds of city builders, and they are so similar to each other that I stopped playing them, unfortunately. And at some point, I loved city builders and still love them. But again, there are like 80% of them are maybe not copy-paste, but like so similar to each other.
Yeah, they're still quite popular, I think, no?
Yeah, they must be. I mean, people are pumping them out constantly for these next fests.
I think there's something about creating something that people like about it. And even I talked to so many people, and I already mentioned this before, but I know tons of people who played video games in the 90s, and they loved Age of Empires 2 because they experienced it as a city builder. And I think that says a lot about what people like, or what a lot of people like, at least. And it's like creating some town or something that looks pretty. And I think a lot of people, yeah, just simply enjoy the creative aspect of it.
Yeah, I would have to say, first of all, it'd be wonderful to do an episode dedicated to that at some point, like Adam's saying, because I just want to point out something that was in a previous Next Fest that I don't think we've even brought up on this podcast was a voxel-based city builder called Town to City, which I did play the demo of, and I was very interested in actually purchasing the full game. I just haven't yet. And my friends have purchased the full game. I've watched YouTube videos now where non-strategy gamers have talked about the game, talked about the music in the game. I mean, this is a strategy game that popped up out of one of these Next Fests that actually looked unique and did ascend beyond the barriers of the strategy gaming like niche that we here on the podcast are always talking about. And so that kind of did exactly what we want some of these other RTS or 4X games that we're always excited for on these episodes to do. It moved beyond strategy and brought people in because of the cozy city builder, but it had things that made it different and it was interesting. And so I think, especially from me having played that last time, looking at other city builders, that's kind of what it gets compared to now. Like, there's always going to be one that stand out that you're going to compare to, but these city builders just are really looking the same or feeling the same. I don't want to de-emphasize, though, I do think Whiskerwood did something a little bit differently. It felt, in a really poor comparison, it kind of felt a little bit more like an Anno of city builders. There was the tax, there was the monarchy that was down your throat, there was the way you needed to build buildings and the fact that they contributed things in specific ways that were kind of, to me, unlike other city builders up front. And there was things that were just not like Anno at all, though, which were things like the terrain leveling and things like that. But if nobody else has played it, then I will move on to another quick demo just to talk about, which is Crownbound. Now, I don't know if either of you played this game, and I haven't really played a game like it. I've kind of played demos that try to do the same thing, but I haven't played a full game like it that I think everybody would have talked about and experienced. But first things first, I was catfished by this game. When you look it up, the art, it's beautiful. I don't know if this is AI or if they hired a very good artist to do this, but when I originally clicked on this game, when I looked at it, the video I saw made me interested, and then the cover art and key art I saw made me very interested. I was thinking that there was a ton of production value behind this game. Now, that shouldn't detract from the gameplay itself. I did have fun playing it, but it's a concept because, as I said before, I don't know if the full game is going to provide anything that I did not actually play in the demo.
Yeah, so this is really similar to the next game I want to talk about. It's Lesseria, but let's skip it when I will be talking. When I want to mention, this is the thing, because lots of people online were asking developers to create games similar to Majesty. I don't know if you played Majesty. This is really like 15 or 20 years old game that you don't control characters. You like kind of you're like a lord that gives rewards, and like the AI controls all the players. And the game you mentioned is, again, this is the result of like people trying to find the game, and someone on this wave of notion of people looking for a game simply created the concept that, again, we'll sell, we will not sell, we won't know it, but he simply, I believe, he made this concept to see how many people play this game. That's my idea why it exists. Because I looked at it, I played different game that is in a better quality than this one, and again, this other one is also not perfect. Maybe I will talk about it, Jack, if it's okay with you.
A quick reminder also, the Steam wishlist is a metric that is used often for funding. So when people want to get funding for their game, getting a Steam wishlist count helps a lot with that.
Yeah, yes. So you see, like, I do believe that this game you mentioned, Jack, is this someone noticed the notion, made a quick game. He right now is checking if the wish list get high enough, and maybe some real game will pop out of it. The game I want to mention is Lesseria, and I heard about this game like 2 or 1 year ago, and everyone was pumped up that, okay, we have the next Majesty game. And I can hear, guys, you don't know much about Majesty type of RTS. It was when I was young, and in Eastern Europe, this game was huge. And I have lots of friends who were like, okay, why nobody's creating anything like Majesty? So someone created game Lesseria. I played it, and we won't talk about heroes in here, except the fact that I wishlisted, and Jack probably too. I hope so. But what I wanted to mention is that comparing it to the Heroes game, like, you could feel the magic of Majesty, this old RTS. But again, when I play, and in Heroes, again, you can feel the magic of Heroes franchise. But the issue is that in Lesseria, like, UI is so clunky. The graphics and animations are created in such a way that I needed to force myself to play the demo. And this is not a good advertisement for the full game. Again, you could feel like there's lots of animations, lots of models, icons, graphics. Like, there's huge production value. But if someone published the demo that I need to force myself to play, and I was like, okay, maybe I'm too old for this kind of games. I installed Majesty, played Majesty, and I was like, okay, no. This is like someone didn't understand something about this game, didn't understand how to make a game. And again, I cannot emphasize enough, and Jack mentioned it, Tim mentioned it, and again, I want to mention it, that there's some, I guess, industry has issues with UIs and UX. Like, I couldn't feel that I'm clicking anything. I couldn't feel the building is, like, being developed. I couldn't feel that the spell is shot. Like, there's something wrong with UIs and this effects in today's world. I don't know if you guys agree with me.
So to clarify, Lesseria, it's like a real-time strategy game combined with RPG elements where you have like heroes and so on, right?
So totally no. This is real-time strategy game that, yeah, basically, instead of you controlling the units, AI controls the units, and you are a lord, like in near, kind of like in near world, that you tell, like you say orders, and the unit may or may not do them. But still, this is pure RTS. There are RPG elements that the characters themselves are developing, like they get levels and so on, but the gameplay is pure RTS. And at no point in the game, you are developing characters. You are changing the stats. Okay. You are changing the skills. Like, you can only see the character change their skills according to the situation, for example.
Yeah. Okay. But so you play as one character that is leading NPCs around your base, basically.
Yeah. For me, this is really interesting because it's so popular in Eastern Europe that it's really fascinating that you don't know this game. But of course, like, maybe that's the reason. Like, Majesty was there were like two games similar, and for 20 years there was no game like that.
So the one I played, Crownbound, I believe it's supposed to be similar to Majesty, like Adam said, and Lysaria, I think it's called. You basically played as like an omnipresent god character. So it's a top-down RTS. You don't have your own character. You don't move around the map at all. You just see the map in its totality. The fog of war only gets moved as the AI heroes go out and complete objectives on their own. And in Crownbound, I did enjoy the game. You were able to basically build buildings to expand your city, and you could like put money into the buildings to improve things like a smithy for better armor or weapon materials, but you essentially were never telling the heroes what to do. You were investing in the world so that the AI heroes would just happen to, whether they wanted to or not, go to the smithy to upgrade their weapons on their own, or you could place bounties.
So it's like the opposite game of Lysaria.
I suppose.
No, yeah. This is exactly the same.
So in Lysaria, you're one hero and you have this town that helps you. And it sounds like in Crownbound, you're the town and you're helping the heroes.
No. This is like, maybe you misunderstood me, but this is exactly the same game. Because you are a god, guy, whatever, who is simply ordering people. But you are not controlling any of it. And you are ordering people through paying to them. And this is also an interesting part. There's huge, maybe not huge, but a big part of economy in there. Because if you give them, for example, bounty, and they get the bounty, these heroes get buy the stuff from your shop, so you get money to pay another bounty.
Okay.
So for me, you basically are kind of like a lord in this kind of games. Like lords who has their own fantasy kingdom.
Okay.
Now, Crownbound was not that in-depth. It was as simple as you place buildings, provide upgrades to them, the heroes go out on their own, and if you wanted to, you could place bounties on enemies. And so in return, it just felt like you naturally earned more gold from killing enemies and got fame to unlock new upgrades. But the list of things you could do was so small. There was like five upgrades for everything in the game. So you had like five buildings to choose from, five support buildings to choose from, a couple dozen spells to choose from that you could use as God to just place down whenever you wanted. And there was just different mechanics there. But that's why I'm saying it felt like a concept, because what's the point in buying
a full demo, right?
It is, but I think it's similar to that where once I had reached the threshold in the tutorial to reach a certain amount of fame, it told me I could play the other two scenarios available. The rest of the scenarios on the list were blacked out for the demo, but you could kind of see what their titles were. And that made me think that the full sandbox version of the game was going to be quite limited.
Okay.
But granted, the video, like I said, the video did draw me in at first. I think the graphics of the game look good. I think the art style they chose for the buildings is cute. It works for the aesthetic. My big thing was I felt like there was a big clash because everything about the game looked fine, except the actual characters themselves moved with like a, I don't remember what the actual animation term is, but with like a half frame cutoff, like they were a lower frame rate. And it felt jarring for the rest of the world, especially after having played Heroes earlier.
Yeah, so you see, when it comes to Lysaria, and when I looked at the game you mentioned, like there was much more, maybe not effort, but time and budget placed into the game. But for example, for me, the game you mentioned has better graphics. Like Lysaria has this kind of mobile look that people, for example, accuse the new Heroes of, like, okay, it looks mobile. No, like this game looks mobile. It's really simple. The animations are like from this, but you know what I mean. When, for example, the character move on the ground, you can feel they're flowing on the ground. There's no friction. This is so strange. I kind of hate it when the game does it. And not in some artistic way, but like try to be mimic real movement, and the guy is moving in the moving feet, but not moving in the real world. Like I didn't like the graphics of it, but you see, this is the point. Like, we have two games from the genre that didn't have a single game in 20 years. So you may imagine how people are trying to push for a game doing this, and maybe we see something good in the future. Maybe one of these games became good in the future. Who knows? But the demos for both of them seems, at least from to me, what I heard from Jack and what I played, not that good, unfortunately.
You mentioned Heroes.
Yeah, I did. I think we were saving it closer to the end. I guess that's where we are now. But I did. I played the Heroes of Might and Magic Olden Era demo, and I know Adam is excited to talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. We have a special episode dedicated to this game. What I can tell you guys, if the demo is still available, go play it. It's a good game. It has its issues, like every game has its issues, but it's really good, and I'm surprised it captured the feel of the franchise so well. That's for me. Jack, this is your first Heroes game, so...
Oh yeah, as a fresh viewer, I'm very curious about your thoughts, Jack, actually.
Yeah, so I approach this kind of interestingly because I generally do this, don't get me wrong, where I know the context around this. It's been like, what, almost a decade, or if not more than a decade, since the last Heroes of Might and Magic. I've been patiently watching the Heroes games on GOG as they fluctuated in price to decide which of the ones I was going to jump into. I've listened to the episode that you and Adam were on with Al to explain to him about Heroes of Might and Magic, and I've been interested in the series since that episode and since I've heard you guys talk about it. With all that context in mind, I knew there was slight controversy around this title. I knew that it was going to be a shift in tone, that it was being licensed out, that was Hooded Horse and everything. So I want to save my larger impressions for the special episode that I'm going to be on with Adam to talk about it for sure. But up front, it was the best demo I played today. It just was. In all accounts of the fact that it probably just had the most resources, I know, was there worry from the new developers they had licensed it to under Hooded Horse to work on it? Where they had, I think we had talked about it before in another episode that, or Al had mentioned it, that the people working on it had worked on something else that was iffy, or I'm not sure. But I enjoyed it. It was a good demo. I played multiple tutorial missions. I thought there was parts of the game that looked really inspired and really well done. I like the way the map looked, like the fog of war and everything, but I do agree with Adam, that there's probably some impressions that the game looks like a mobile game. I'll have to agree that certain things like the resources on the maps and perhaps some of the ways that the UI menu looks, maybe the city building parts, seem like a mobile game in presentation, the way that those things are handled. But I really enjoyed it for what it was, and I'm all about this new era that we're in right now of this fantasy strategy, like turn-based combat thing, because I know I've been really wanting to talk about Endless Legend 2, and that's something else we're going to talk about on the same episode later.
I want to just mention that I realized that the last games I played from Hooded Horse, most of them were really good. Like, this company is doing something really great at this point, I guess.
Yeah, no, I really want to talk about Hooded Horse because I want to get into it. A lot of these demos that we've seen here today or even talked about were published by Hooded Horse. At least some of the ones we haven't talked about are published by them. They're having a big October sale right now on Steam. And they've produced a bunch of games that they're picking up so many games. I don't know what the shift is going on, or maybe they've just become the go-to strategy publisher, which seems very obvious. But even games like I played before... I think the title is it was the precursor to the game that they have on sale now, or is on the way, which is Beyond These Stars. And that was a game where the previous version or the previous entry in that series, I believe, was published by Team 17. I mean, they're picking up games from other big name publishers, pushing those out. They've gotten Heroes of Might and Magic now, so it's... I'm just really surprised. I mean, we've talked about them plenty of times. We've praised their games in the past, but you're right. Like, they're pushing out a lot, and I feel like every time we're doing these episodes, we have to congratulate them more or talk fondly about them more, because before we were saying there's a few games that are coming out from them, and now after all these next fests, we're like, the strategy games we're looking forward to that seem innovative or interesting, or the next entries in the franchise that we grew up and care about, are all just being published under Hooded Horse.
Yeah, so I guess that they don't make the games themselves, right? They're the publishers. So what I'm seeing is that they have one really good eye for finding gems that are in development and like picking them up and like funding them and so on, or getting them on board. And then they have a good way to transition that into a good product at the end, and finding out what the developers need, or which direction they need to go in. Obviously, I don't know how it works behind the scenes, but they're definitely doing a good job. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's quite a few games. Nebulous Fleet Command, Star Invicta, Endless Legend 2. And then there's another one coming up, Espiocracy, that looks really good as well. I'm excited for them to be around, you know?
We are at the, I guess, at this point, I'm like, when I see Hooded Horse is publishing something, I know will be at least 5-6 out of 10. Okay, maybe not the best game, but like at least like not bad. Like you have this, all the publishers have their up and downs, and downs for Hooded Horse is like a maybe mid game. So this is down for them, and they have really huge ups. So they're doing something great, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, and I want to, like, I don't want to continue hopping on a praise train for Hooded Horse and, you know, like, sure, yes, of course we want your Steam keys, but I don't want to make it feel like we're obligated to feel like we have to say this. It's just, I think from, like, a really practical point of view, I'm bringing it up because I didn't think about it before, but they're publishing Manor Lords, which was a game that really took off in the YouTube community and got traction outside of city builders and strategy games. Against the Storm is a game that I played through Game Pass. My friends picked it up at full price on Steam. And not only that, but they've done the same thing with Every Day We Fight and Menace were two games that actually really took off as trailers on the Critical Moves YouTube channel. Heroes of Might and Magic was the best demo I played today and was a game Adam was really looking forward to that is now being published by Hooded Horse. And then Heart of the Machine was a game where I interviewed Chris McElligott Park on this podcast. And that's his game, his most recent release. And he previously released big Steam hits like AI War. So, when you're talking about these people that have been developing games for more than a decade now, or series that have previously existed, he had nothing but praise for Hooded Horse and the way that they treated him and helped him with development on that game. So it's not supposed to be this like unnecessary praise train, but it's pretty clear. I mean, I've seen Nine Kings pop up on Game Pass, Cataclysmo. These are games that are Terra Invicta. I mean, these are games that are getting added to Game Pass. They're existing on other subscription platforms. Hooded Horse is clearly in the game to stay. So it's like a name that we're going to continue having to talk about on Critical Moves.
The ones that I want to mention are Hunting Pack. This is some concept of the game about the Wolf Pack, roguelike RTS. The concept is kind of interesting because you are a wolf pack searching for food, and this is like a strategic-ish kind of game. The issue for me, unfortunately, it was boring. Sorry. Next game is Battlethorn Reckoning. And this is the game, and all of the games has strategy in their tags, so just to be clear. It is the game that tries to mimic raiding in MMO games in a way of RTS game. So imagine that someone tries to make an RTS about leading a raid in MMO. I didn't understand the game. The instructions were so unclear. It looks kind of cool, like low budget game, but I really don't understand why someone posts a demo of a game without even like a sheet explaining how to control anything, what to do. Like, I don't get it. Why they do it? I simply, like, what they expect me to do with this demo? Like, look at it, think, okay, how to play it, try to figure it out 40 minutes. Like, there's no controls. There's no schematics. Like, there's nothing. Just you need to kill or like defeat the other side. Like, anyway, no, don't play it. And there's the last game I want to mention is DSS2 War Industry. And Tim, you may look at this game because it is Total War game, but the scale of this game is like from a Total War perspective, And if you zoom out the map, you get the, I don't know, Europa Universalis perspective. And this is the fluent scroll, like the units when they move. There's the direct simulation of the units and the bases and where city are developing. They're really building on the map. They occupy the space. This is not some some higher level representation of civilization developing. It's like really interesting concept. The issue is with this game is that I wish I liked it. Like, I don't know. I wanted to play this game, but it crashed after 5 minutes. I don't know. If I play games that are not from Next Fest, like I haven't seen a crash on my PC for, I don't know, 2 years. And this game crashed every 5 minutes. I was like, no, like it's too much for me. But again, I can see something interesting happening in there.
I played a promise of a game, I guess, in a way. Ascendant Dawn has many of the same issues that we mentioned earlier. The UIs, less than great. There's a lot of issues with the game. But what it is, it's like a management game of a Bronze Age civilization. And that's interesting. I mean, there's now a few games that do that, but not too many. And I find that a really interesting time period myself. And it tries to be complex. So there's a lot of elements to it. It does a lot of different systems that interact with each other. And that's interesting. Of course, it's a demo. I have no idea how far this is going to go. It does look pretty ugly to my liking. And it does this one thing also that I find unfortunate that so many games do. They try to make characters for you to care about. So there's like a little picture of the person, and there's a name, and there's characteristics and so on. And like, maybe there's like very few games where I actually care about the characters in a strategy game. And then I do really care about them a lot, and then that's like really fun. But 99% of those strategy games is like, it's just a dude or just a woman, and I don't care particularly for it because I'm focused on the systems, I'm focused on the mechanics, and that person has a name. It doesn't really do much for me, and it's more of a distraction than anything else.
Tim, did you play Statecraft?
I did not. How was it?
I did not. I just wanted to ask if you had played it, because I didn't prioritize it because it's not exactly my kind of game, but I imagine as a strong Victoria 3 player that you might have been interested in something like this. It's not the same scale at all, but it's like a 70s, 80s themed political management game, so maybe that's too small a scale for you. But it's just really like managing four or five countries, like one country in a group of four or five, and this like Eastern European style kind of like, it's called Statecraft Corrupted Democracy. It just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like the kind of game where I'd want to hear your opinion if it was the kind of game that you wanted to play.
Yeah, I love the aesthetics, right? Because it's exactly what we mentioned. It's not trying to do something super fancy, super realistic. It has its art style and sticks by it. And it's very simple, but it works really well.
So just to wrap up here, like I said before, we kind of barely touched on it, but I did play the Stellar Reach demo. We had talked about this game on the podcast before. Al brought it up multiple times as a big Stellaris person. I'm somebody who really likes Stellaris. I like other space games, so I gave this game a shot. I did not even know the demo was out because of the Steam Fest, just to reiterate. Was not publicized to me, wasn't made very clear to me, and this is a game that clearly people were excited for because we brought it up on our podcast as not even a Stellaris killer, but just as a challenger coming up to the plate. I did not get very far into this game, but I would suggest other people go play the demo for yourself if you're interested. Like I said before, my problems were just quality assurance problems. The menus were too small. The mechanics were not explained in a way that seemed very clear to me. Like, it would have been hard for me to progress very quickly in that demo. It would have needed me to take time and actually focus in. And on top of that, I really wanted to be able to talk more about any new information that the developer had released But we've run into the same issue on this episode that we've run into every other time, which is just this game is probably going to come out soon. There's a demo out on this next fest. You only get that one chance and they chose it now. So I suppose it's coming out soon enough that they're willing to share it today. That being said, we are running into the same problem where last time we were on an episode and I talked about Stellar Reach, I tried to look up articles or developer news, like newsletters or anything, and they mentioned 13 strategic resources, multiple factions, the ability to explore, exploit, conquer, things like that. And there's still no more additional information on what that looks like, more footage of the game in that way. As far as I can tell, no idea what those strategic resources are. And you don't have to know every nitty-gritty to want to play those games, but it was a game that already turned me off aesthetically, which is something I talked about before. And for those who it doesn't turn off aesthetically and who are interested in the more in-depth mechanics it has for space flight and things like that, or fleet controlling, go check it out. But for us to talk about it on this podcast for three uninitiated viewers, where there's just nothing to talk about. So I know we've tried to contact the developer in the past. There's just really not much to go on. But that is to say, just go form your own opinions and play the game yourself. You might really enjoy it. And I hope Stellar Reach takes off, as I hope all of these demos can find success and funding with their wish lists or at all the success they want off of Next Fest. But that's my general opinions on Stellar Reach. And I think that's kind of the general Critical Moves opinion right now, is just there's really not much to go off of. And I'd love to dive back into that demo and explore more, but I'm already turned off by a few quality assurance problems just as a first impression for a game that's already being compared to Stellaris, which, you know, maybe we made that problem. Maybe Critical Moves started pulling Stellar Reach into the conversation with Stellaris and Paradox and Big Hitters and the developers sitting there shaking and never intended to be playing in that ball field. But we certainly have talked about it multiple times and have been excited. So I just wish they'd release more.
I guess the competition on the Forex market is so big, and in terms of like good quality games, there are so many of them, like Galactic Civilization, Stellaris, Sins of Solar Empire. Terra Invicta. Like, there are so many games doing something great that it's really hard for a game that's not doing anything, maybe not at this point, like not showing anything great at the demo, to stand out.
All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in for episode 51. If you enjoyed listening to us talk about these demos and you want to hear us talk about games that are actually released or are coming out, series that you loved or grew up with, or anything regarding strategy games in that way, please go to the Critical Moves YouTube channel or criticalmovespodcast.com and become involved. You can watch previous episodes, look forward to new ones, and there's also a forum and a Discord that you can join in on and talk to us and let us know what games you want to talk about, you want to hear us talk about, or maybe you've just got some insider knowledge and want to talk to us about something special. For developers out there, please reach out to us. We're always interested to talk about your games, but most importantly, we had a lot of fun talking about the demos for this Next Fest. So if anybody else played demos for Next Fest and they want to share their experiences or complain or praise the same way Tim and Adam and I just did, please come into the Discord and highlight that to us. Shout us out, and we'd love to talk to you about our experiences with the demo and go back and forth. So for everybody, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.